Magic Detective, starring the world's greatest magician, Blackstone. He tells you the inside story of the organ murder. And right after the story, Blackstone will explain tricks that you yourself can perform. Reveal the guarded secrets of the world's greatest living magician. Blackstone, the Magic Detective.
Well, what do you think of my newest acquisition, that pipe organ over there?
Why, it's beautiful. Gee, I didn't know you played the organ, Blackstone.
Oh, he can do anything, that guy.
Yeah, that really is a beautiful instrument. But what's it doing in a magic studio? You know, everything in this room has something to do with magic, and somehow the organ seems out of place.
Well, the organ isn't magical, really, but there was a time when some people thought it was.
What do you mean? Sounds like a story.
It is. Quite a story.
Tell him about it.
Well, Helen Trask was a friend of Rhoda's, and when her husband was shot, she asked me if there was anything I could do.
You've got to help me, Mr. Blackstone. You've got to.
Helen, dear, don't get so upset. Of course Mr. Blackstone will help you. That's why he's here.
Tell me exactly what happened, Mrs. Trask, on the day your husband was murdered.
I was sitting right here in this room, waiting for Wesley. He had called and said he wanted to speak to me about something very important. The door opened, and I heard him.
That will be all, Annie. I want to speak to Mrs. Trask alone.
Very good, sir.
What is it, Wesley? You said you wanted to speak to me?
Helen, I want those securities of your father's. I need them.
You mean...
Unless I can raise $50,000 by tomorrow, Trask and Company will go under.
Go under? Why, that's impossible.
Will you give me those securities?
Why, I'll have to know more about it, of course, but what happened, Wesley? I thought that companies like yours were booming in wartime.
You don't need to know anything, Helen. I want those securities.
Wesley, you haven't done anything dishonest again, have you? I mean, Trask and Company has always been secure, except for that one time years ago. You haven't been gambling with company funds again.
I want those securities, Helen. I won't stand here arguing about them.
I'll give you those securities if and when I decide it's the right thing to do, and not before.
Now listen, Helen. If you hold out on me now, you'll go down with me. I'll see that your name is blackened along with mine.
I tell you, I won't be threatened. I'll kill you first. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I can see that now. But the money he was asking for was the last I had. Once before, I gave him enough to save him and his company. He never was honest. It wasn't in him. And yet, this time I...
You wanted to make sure that this would be the last time.
I had to make sure. If I gave him the securities, I'd have nothing else. Nothing left of my own. Oh, I wouldn't have cared if I thought that this would have been the end, but I wasn't sure. I couldn't be.
What happened next?
When I left Wesley, I... gone into that little room over there. I was walking up and down, trying to make up my mind, when I heard him go over to the organ.
You shot him.
Annie, call a doctor immediately.
He don't need no doctor. He's dead.
Oh, no. No.
You shot him.
No, you're wrong, Annie. He committed suicide. That's it, suicide.
You said I won't be threatened. I'll kill you first. And you done it.
No. No, Annie, I didn't do it. No. Blackstone, I swear it. But the police...
Did they think that you did it?
I don't know what they think, really. They've asked me not to leave the house.
May I look around this room, Mrs. Trask?
Why, certainly, Mr. Blackstone.
Had your husband ever contemplated suicide that you know of, Mrs. Trask?
Why, I know. Never. He wasn't the type of person who would do that. He had a fear of pain of any kind that amounted almost to a phobia. Mm.
I can remember once years ago when he cut his finger. It was just a little cut, really, but from the way he carried on, you'd think he'd cut his hand off.
Then suicide is out. Enemies?
Well, I don't know. He must have, though. He always was a very definite sort of person, and, well, as I told you, he wasn't always too, well, too honest in his business dealings.
May I talk with Annie, the maid, for a few minutes?
Yes, certainly. I'll get her.
Blackstone, you don't think she did it, do you?
Annie?
No, Helen Trask. She couldn't have, Blackstone. I know it just as well as I know my name is Rhoda Brent.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Annie. You discovered the body, didn't you?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. I was the first person to see him dead. Except Mrs. Trask, of course.
You seem pretty sure that Mrs. Trask killed her husband, Five.
There wasn't nobody else who could have done it. Nobody came here all day except a guy to tune the organ.
Did you know the tuner? Had he been here before?
No, sir. The regular man was sick, he said, so this guy came instead. But he left at least an hour before Mr. Trask came home.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Annie.
You're very welcome, I'm sure. If there's anything more I can do to...
No, help. Nothing, thank you.
Oh, why don't the police do something? She shot that man. She shot him in cold blood while he was sitting playing on that organ. She just came up and shot the poor man. Well, goodbye, sir.
Well, Mrs. Trask is a charming woman, Rhoda, but her maid doesn't think so. She seems to think she's a first cousin to Borgia.
Well, what are you going to do now?
I'm going to check up on the organ. There's some connection here, Rhoda. Somehow this instrument's connected with the murder of Wesley Trask.
But how, Blackstone? How could it be? Maybe the organ tuner was in here yesterday, but he certainly didn't do a good job. That note is flatter than a flounder.
I have it. Rhoda, I know who killed Trask, and I know how it was done. Call the police and have them arrest...
But who was it? Annie? Mrs. Trask?
Yes, again.
Well, there's no one else who could have done it. Wait.
You got it?
I think so. The organ tuner.
Right.
But how did you know, and how did he do it? Annie said he left.
He did, but he left an instrument of death behind. A gun hidden inside of one of the pipes of the organ. And when that particular note was played...
The vibration set off the hair trigger.
The police traced the phony piano tuner and discovered that he was a man that Trask had ruined in some crooked business deal.
He knew Trask and knew that he played the organ a good deal, and that it'd be only a question of time before he hit the right note.
But didn't he run the risk of killing Mrs. Trask instead of the man he was out gunning for?
Well, as Rhoda said, he knew Trask, and he also knew that Mrs. Trask was not musical.
But what did Annie, the maid, have against Mrs. Trask?
Annie, it seems, was the girlfriend of our villain.
Well, Blackstone, so you solved another crime, but this one not with magic.
On the contrary.
You mean that magic did enter into it?
All magicians have to have very sensitive ears because so many of their tricks depend on sound. If Rhoda and I hadn't learned to pick up the accurate pitch of a scale, I never would have found the gun or even noticed that the organ was not in tune.
And so there was another case solved, thanks to magic. Well, Blackstone, have you a trick for us today?
Well, now, let me see.
Do that new one you were starting to tell me about this morning.
Hmm? Oh, all right.
What's this trick based on, Blackstone?
Vibrations. Just as the gun that shot Trask was motivated by vibrations.
Well, that sounds like real magic.
Oh, it is. Rhoda, hand me that bottle of beverage.
Okay.
Thank you. And that glass.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now, pour me a drink, will you? Now... I will take this ordinary table fork. Watch closely, you two. When I pluck the prongs of the fork, then I place my fingers above the glass and draw the vibration right from it. The fork.
And here's the glass. Why, the sound is coming right from the glass.
And now the sound will come right from the bottle.
Say, that sound certainly is coming from the bottle. You're drawing it out with your fingertips.
That's right.
Oh, here, let me try it, Blackstone. It looks easy enough.
It is easy, when you know how. Go ahead.
I pluck the prongs of the fork like this.
Now, hold your fingertips over the glass.
There. Well, nothing happened. I don't get any vibrations at all.
Perhaps you're just not in tune. Why don't you try it?
Well, I'd like to. Give me the fork, Rhoda.
Here it is.
Well, I pluck the prongs... and hold my fingers over the glass. Doesn't work for me either.
Well, let me try it again, huh?
Go right ahead. We'll be back in a minute to help you improve your vibrations.
Oh, Blackstone, it still doesn't work.
Oh, yes, it does. Just let me have that fork, Rhoda. Now.
But how? I did just what you're doing, but I didn't get any sound at all.
Keep watching my left hand, Rhoda. The one that holds the fork.
Oh, I see now. You're pressing the end of the fork against the table.
Yes, and that's what produces the singing sound. See? Now the fork handle against the table.
Oh, but I would have sworn it came from the glass.
And one time I heard it come from a beverage bottle.
Well, that's because your ears deceived you. Guessing the direction of sound is almost impossible. And there's something else that fools you. First you see me pluck the fork, and then my hand goes over to the glass. That's when I set the fork handle on the table.
So what our eyes think they see, our ears believe what they hear.
That's exactly it, Rhoda. And that's real magic. I hope you enjoyed that trick, ladies and gentlemen. And now, until next time, this is Blackstone wishing you good magic and goodbye.
With us next time when the world's greatest living magician, Blackstone, tells us the story of The Ghost That Wasn't and explains more tricks that you yourself can perform. Listen in again to Blackstone, the world's greatest living magician.